I think after all this time, I'd remember.
I do that a lot. You're halfway there.
Get halfway, turn around.
I'll do that, like go out for a store and be like,
I know.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this evening. Welcome to those who are here socially distanced in our high school cafeteria and to those who are joining us online. Tonight's meeting is a special board meeting to fill the vacancy of an open board seat by virtue of our board vice president, John Hartman, resigning effective October 31. Special welcome to our three highly qualified candidates that will be interviewing this evening. Let's start with a moment of silent reflection to reflect on the importance of our decision tonight, followed by the pledge to the flag. Please rise. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looking at the roll, all of the remaining eight board members are present this evening. Once again, thank you for your attendance. We'll move into approval of the agenda. Entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as is.
The motion, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments about the agenda? All in favor of approving the agenda as presented, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Our agenda is approved. Now is the time for the first of two opportunities for public comment. I will point out that after the board interviews the three questions, but before we deliberate and before we vote, there will be a second opportunity for public comment. So with that, if any member of the public, either in person here or online, would like to make a comment, now is your opportunity. If you're joining us via Zoom, please use the raise hand option on your screen, and our webinar host will recognize you, at which time you'll be asked to spell and state your last name for the record and to share your address.
Mr. Blevins, at this time there are no hands raised.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stopper. Okay. Again, welcome to our three candidates in the list of in alphabetical order, the list of candidates are Stephen Kapelik, Whitney Metzler, and Catherine Wisner. And I really thank you for taking interest in being a school board member at Dallastown and the commitment that takes and your willingness to serve your community. So just from looking over the resumes and the information and the answers to questions, I think it's safe to say that we had three very, very highly qualified candidates, and any of the three of you would make a good board member. So I would ask you, several of us came onto the board in this fashion, myself included, okay? And understand it's a pretty stressful time, but just relax, okay? I would also point out that a couple of the board members went through this process unsuccessfully, but later became board members. So that's some words of encouragement for you, okay? Um, The process that we're going to follow is that we have prepared a list of questions. Each candidate will be asked the same set of questions. And as we discussed out in the lobby, if all three of you stayed in the room for the entire process, it would give an unfair advantage to those who go second or third. Okay. So we understand that under sunshine laws, you have the right to be in the room, but we would respectfully ask you to that when you're not being asked, when it's not your turn, that the other two of you go to the lobby and Mrs. Kirby will escort you in and out. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
The three of you okay? Good, thank you. Appreciate our cooperation. We will draw lots to determine the order in which you go. And Mrs. Kirby has placed in this dish a little slip with each of your three names on the separate slip. Mr. Wingard to pull the first one.
First one is Whitney.
Okay. Whitney Metzler will go first.
Second. Stephen.
Stephen Kapelik will go second.
Is that in the right order?
Yes. Catherine, you can go last. So.
Is it? I think we can figure it out.
We will each be asked a question by Dr. Dahl and myself and the remaining board members. We've allotted approximately 1/2 hour for each of the interviews. Okay, we've already studied up on all of you and read the answers to the questions that you submitted. So I would ask you to make your answers succinct. Okay, and we'll ask our webinar host to remind us when we're getting close to the 1/2 hour for each candidate. Okay, so after all three candidates have completed their interviews, but before the board deliberates, as I said before, we will give the public another opportunity for public comment. So any of your friends or relatives that are watching online that want to weigh in, that's their opportunity to do that. Then the board will publicly deliberate, and then we will vote, okay? And as I think I've informed each of you previously, because the parents of one of our candidates are neighbors and friends of my wife and I will be recusing myself from the deliberations and the voting. Okay. The successful candidate will be the one who receives 5 or more votes. Keep going through the deliberation process until we get that accomplished. And then we will ask for any final comments from the candidates or the board. And then thank you, Judge Laird, for joining us this evening. And he will swear in the successful candidate and will immediately become a member of the school board. So any questions about the process?
Yes.
Okay, good. Why don't we get underway? Mrs. Kirby, if you want to escort the second and third out. Get your own microphone.
I know, it's wonderful. Hopefully, everyone can hear you.
You'll be okay. Again, welcome.
Thank you.
And, I'll start off with the first question, and that is, why are you interested in serving on the school board?
Well, I was a longtime resident of the downtown school district. I was born and raised in the district. I lived here all but 12 years of my life. I was a 1996 graduate of Dallastown, and I have five children in the school district. So I have children in, that have gone through three different elementary schools, intermediate school, middle school, not a high schooler. So I have had a number of years of experience with Dallastown, and I thought my experience in the public realm could be used to help the school. I met some of you before when I came in on a vaping issue. I work for the House of Representatives, and I have some limited overlap with the schools, but I have actively helped out wherever I can, whether it was administration. Mark Tarosa, I helped her write a paper for a graduate class, or helped out in the schools. I do try to help out where I can.
Good. So. Dr. Dom.
Hey, thank you for attending us. Great to, great to see you again. Quality, skills, and experience you would bring to the board.
So I think the number one quality that I probably would bring is 10 years of experience of being in a very tightly contested day-to-day existence. As the executive director of the House Health Committee, a lot of what I do is very political, and I think I have honed my skills to be able to disagree without being disagreeable, to find compromise wherever possible, and to be able to work out anything with the end goal being, in this case, the students and school district. So I think also I have almost 15 years of litigation experience. So I'm very well adapted at identifying potential litigation issues, which would be detrimental to the school's bottom line. And I think I could help you guys navigate that, even though you have an exceptional solicitor that works with the school. I would be happy to work hand in hand with them.
Thank you. Follow-up question, and then we'll go kind of to your introduction, because we're always, and I applaud, the board always loves to hear about their children. And so with that said, if you could just expand a little more, do you have children currently attending DASD, and if so, in what schools?
So I have, as of the beginning of the COVID pandemic, we actually did remove our kids, and they all attend CCA at the moment. So that's Commonwealth Cyber Academy. That was not true as of the beginning of the school year. As of the beginning of the school year, my oldest child wanted to return to Dallastown, and we placed him back into the cyber program here through Dallastown. Through numerous emails with Dr. Bumstead, he actually even identified the significant problems that we were having with Odyssey, a complete lack of communication. And as we discussed, it was, the product was promised but not delivered. So, I even offered my services to Dr. Rumstead back in September. I would love to help craft the cyber program so Dallas can bring that in the house and then all my children can return. I have three nationally ranked golfers, all top 3,000 golfers in the country. And as of last year, I think we used all of our education trip days by January. So that is the reason why we looked at a cyber program. COVID just kind of expedited that, and then we're actively looking to bring the best out.
And you have three kids, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I know. Very energetic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bensel.
Okay, my question is, a friend approaches you with an issue they were having at their child's school. How do you handle this approach, and what advice do you give to your friend?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is identify where the problem is. Just like I deal with constituent problems every single day, it's usually to narrow down what the issue is and help them address it to the appropriate person. I think they need to talk, if it's a problem in the school with the teacher, I think they need to discuss that with the teacher first before they're really bringing it to the board. At some point, if it becomes a systemic problem, I definitely, maybe it's something that the board would need to address, but I mean, my advice would be, start with where the problem is, usually either in the teacher or at the building supervisor.
Thank you.
Mrs. Easton.
Welcome.
Thank you.
In light of the unusual circumstances we are experiencing, what do you believe should be the three highest priorities of the school board?
Right now, and I'm assuming you mean with COVID, I'm just going to be.
Again, everything that ties in with COVID too, there's a lot that goes in.
Okay.
But it's not just COVID. There's a lot of things that are resulting from COVID.
I think right now, honestly, I don't know that I could even criticize what the board's done. I think it's done an amazing job trying to meet the needs of every family here in the district. The three programs that this board has crafted, I haven't seen them in any other district. And truly, I applaud you for what an amazing job you're doing. But the three priorities, to answer your question directly, make sure parents know their children are safe. Communicate as well as you possibly can with the parents. I think the general population is simply scared. It's a new virus. It's, you know, we did not know the death rate or how much it was going to impact us. We didn't know if what we were seeing in long-term care centers was going to translate to other care settings like a school district. We haven't seen those numbers that have come out of schools. We haven't seen any super spreader events out of schools in Pennsylvania, at least not by the numbers I received from the Department of Health. So I think we're doing a great job statewide, but I think making sure students know they're safe, parents, you're communicating well with parents, and then you just, any changes just need to be communicated on a continuing basis with parents. I mean, at some point, we're going to come to a point of a vaccine, or we're looking at returning kids to the building on a regular basis, and then we're going to need to communicate that very well to the parents.
And can I kind of do a follow-up? You had said, originally when Dr. Dahl had asked you about your children, and you had said that you had already had a discussion with Dr. Bumstead about the cyber program. So do you feel that that is something that we should be also, the school board should be looking at developing? How do we develop alternatives for our students? Where do you see us fitting in with that?
So I think it's currently with what's going on, I don't know that you could do much more. I do think that the school is spending a lot of money on Odysseyware, and it's not providing the services that people thought it was going to be. It's not the Dallastown experience. The Dallastown teachers, the administrators, and everybody that you get to deal with is the Dallastown experience, and that's what my kids want again. They love their teachers. I love their teachers. I did not pull them out of school because I had any issues with Dallastown. I just needed the flexibility to be able to travel and take those classes remotely. I think the current hybrid program is great. It could have some more flexibility. I think you have the nuts and bolts of what you need to be able to craft it without putting an additional burden on the teachers to develop it. I think, by my understanding, Dr. Bumstead is moving forward. Do I think it's something that the board would have to work on? Absolutely. But I believe he's, by my understanding, he's working to move the cyber program already back into Dallastown, like in-house.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Hosler.
Hello.
Hi.
What do you see as the greatest opportunity for improvement in Dallastown?
It would probably go back to developing that in-school cyber program. I mean, we are losing money to charter schools. We have to, you know, I know it's not 100% of the student allotment, but we are sending money to charter schools, whether it's cyber or otherwise. And with some of the school, I mean, kids' athletics has become a much more serious situation than back when I was, you know, a swimmer. And I honestly say Dallastown worked with me because they had the ability to. They didn't have the state laws that were mandating certain attendance. So I believe that your biggest opportunity is to do that, and then even potentially open it up for other schools in even the county. We could have students coming here and using our cyber program because it's state of the art. It would be a nice way to bring new revenue into the school district.
Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you. I don't know why they keep giving me this question, but I'm just going to read it and you take it for what it's worth. But you and another board member have opposing views about a major issue, and you both feel very strongly that your position is right. When your position is not affirmed by the majority of the board, how will you react?
Honestly, the same way I do every day in my job. My job at the House is to present the pros and cons of any piece of legislation that we work with. I present those to our leadership team, and our leadership team takes a position. My personal opinion does not matter. So I can break things down to the nuts and bolts. At the end of the day, my job is to make sure whatever is decided at the leadership level is what crosses the finish line. So I don't expect nothing to happen other than hopefully the next time we see eye to eye on something.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Pantano.
Hello. I got to put my glasses on for this. Well,
When we have factors that we consider in determining a stance on raising taxes, what factors would you personally consider determining your personal position as it relates to raising taxes versus cutting programs in order to affect the budget or impact the budget?
So I think you certainly cannot impact the quality education that Dowdstown receives. I am not familiar enough with your budget to say that there are places that we could cut right now. I don't know what the options would be. I definitely think you need to understand that, in this case, I'm being appointed by the board, but most of you were elected by taxpayers. You do need to weigh their interests. We're here, you know, to help them out. So I certainly don't think raising taxes is the end all be all. I'll go back to, let's think outside the box and see ways we can bring in other revenue without overburdening the taxpayer, who's in your county and Dowdstown in particular is becoming more and more a retired individual. So unless we have some ability to have significant construction up and down 83, where we bring in a lot more commercial space, right now Dowdstown is, you know, is all it's going to do is go to the taxpayer if we don't come up with some creative solutions. And I would suggest we look at any potential creative solutions we can do before we start raising taxes or slashing programs to the core.
So just a quick follow-up. If the revenue is neutral and you came down to a decision between looking for places to cut versus raising the taxes, how would you weigh those, only those two factors in your mind, and understand what you said already about not fully understanding the comprehensive nature of our current budget?
Right. Hopefully with a fresh eye on it, since this would be my first time looking at it with a fresh eye, I could hopefully find places to cut before we raise taxes. But I would not cut that would impact the quality of the education here.
Thank you.
Mrs. Trout.
Hi there.
Hi.
As a board, we go to great lengths to try to avoid conflicts of interest or even the appearance of a conflict of interest. Do you have any personal employment or business relationships that could be perceived as a conflict of interest? And if so, how could you overcome them?
So I am a PIAA official. So I have officiated, but only for the Wildcats Swim Club so far. And I did notify the York County officials that I would not be able to maintain that PIAA official standing for any high school events, should I be granted this opportunity. That would be one conflict of interest, but I've already notified them and I told them I would let them know after today. I do work for the House. I have done an ethics evaluation on it, and they are two offices like pulled together. I used to be the counsel to the ethics committee, so I actually have done this for former board members here at Dowdstown. And the advice we usually give to House of Representative members is if we represent more than one school district, if your legislative district covers more than one school district, do not remain on the school board. I don't have that. There's two issues where I would overlap education, or I would say education. It used to be something that was in the school code that moved over to my domain. That is school vaccinations, which may become very important to my city. But that is a statewide mandate, and that would not be anything that would impact, there would be a conflict here per the ethics committee.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wingard.
Evening, thanks for being here.
Uh-huh.
What does Dowdstown's mission of, and I quote, creating pathways for student success, end quote, mean to you?
So I think, and at least what I've seen from what my children have experienced through this, is that from very early on, different careers are discussed with them. I think my favorite program we have is the fifth grade program, where numerous professionals come in and present what they do during the job. Even so much that I did it twice and I offered to do it every other year if they ever wanted me to come back. I absolutely love explaining to kids how legislation gets drafted and becomes law. I think it's so fun. And actually, if you've ever seen Conjunction and I'm Just a Bill really is an amazing tool that I can sit there and I use a bill that would be relevant to their life to explain to them. So I know even from that young of an age, you are showing them actual career pathways. For the high school orientation, I knew that it was things such as VOTEC, or whether you were going to do a career path or a technical path, and whether you wanted to have AP classes and other things. So I think it was the wide variety of options that you would have, and they aren't necessarily the traditional options.
Thank you.
Great thing. One final question. To help the board make our decision, what have we not asked you that you wish to add?
I think it honestly goes back to the one thing I would like to highlight is I don't know the other members. I think I'm the only person who's born and raised here. I love Dallastown. And I really do just want to contribute to make it as it continue to be what a great school that it is. I love it. You're a Wildcat for life. There was a reason I moved my family back here after a few years in New York. And I really would love to do anything I can to help Dallastown continue its tradition of
memories. Very good. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good job. Does anybody need a few minutes before the next candidate comes in, or okay?
Yeah.
Okay, bring them in.
Just as a reminder, the interview notes are just for your use only, so don't feel obligated if there's something you don't want to check. Ultimately, at the end of the night, you have to make a decision on which candidate you vote for. So don't feel you have to complete every aspect of the interview note.
Thank you. Why are you interested in serving on the school?
So, first of all, I want to thank you for having me being so godly honored to be here. The reason I'm looking here is twofold. I'm a stakeholder in this community, and the two reasons. One is I am a parent. I am a parent of two children. I have a son who is in 11th grade and a daughter who is in 9th grade. I'm also a taxpayer and a resident, and we reflect back, I've lived here for 5 years now. My family and I moved here in 2015, and my family and I moved here in 2015, we moved from Pittsburgh. I took a job here in the Maryland area, we wanted to stay in Pennsylvania. And we decided that we wanted to live in York County. And we're thinking of where are we gonna live? And we have two children that are school age, that have several more years that they need to be here. So we asked around, asked very good friends of ours, who were also from the Pittsburgh area that moved out here, and I asked friends of mine from work, said, where do we want to live? Where do we want to go so we have that our children can get a good education? And what always came at the top of the list was Dallastown. So we've heard very good things about this school, and we've come here, and I can say that the most important stakeholders, our children, over the past 5 years, they love it here. They love it here better than the school that we went to, that they attended in Pittsburgh. And that was great school. So I want to see that continue. We are invested. My wife and I, my children, we are invested in this community. We're invested in the Doylestown School District. And we want to see it prosper. We want to see people continue who want to move here and say, where do we want to live? Where do we want to keep our children? We want it to be here in Doylestown. And we want those children, their children, to have a successful academic career here. And then secondly, as the taxpayer, as the resident, I want to see things go well. I want to see our neighborhood thrive. And that comes with being here in a school district that's very successful. So that's why I have such a vested interest in being on the school board, to see that continue.
Very good. Dr. Dahl.
Thank you. Two questions, and you actually, I think, nailed the one already. So, okay. But there is one: the qualities, skills, and experience you would bring to the board.
So the quality and skills I would bring, my career is in procurement. So I have worked for three Fortune 500 companies, Ford Motor Company, H.J. Heinz, and now McCormick. I came out of graduate school and joined Ford Motor Company. Being in procurement has really given me a wide range, a wide focus and knowledge about what I can do to make good decisions, to have many different situations thrust upon you, multitasking, having to work with many different people that have many different objectives, that will have very conflicting objectives. And in my career, I've had to make those decisions, make those recommendations and it's all based on the facts, based on the information that you have, because I'm a data-driven, fact-based person that before I make a decision, I need to make sure I understand all of the known facts at that time. Sometimes you don't have all the facts. In fact, a lot of times you don't have all the facts. You have to make the best decisions at that time, both short-term and long-term. So in my career here, I'm dealing with several different projects, several different activities that has had a significant impact on the company. That is what I would bring in and bring that fact-based attitude and demeanor to the school.
And second question, children attending, you have a ninth grader, 11th grader?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Great kids too.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Bensel.
My question, a friend approaches you with an issue they had at their child's school. How do you handle this approach, and what advice do you give to your friend?
I see that, and that's something that I would expect, that people would come to me and come with a very specific problem. My response to that person is I need to understand, first of all, I'd like to understand the facts of what their issue is. And then also to understand holistically how we treat that. There are very unique situations. There are situations that the one child may deal with, and is that something that the school board needs to be involved with, or is that something that can be dealt with the teacher, with the principal, and dealt with on another means? Unfortunately, as a school board, being on the board, you're not able to solve every problem. And we want to approach that to understand what their issues are and to be able to help guide them in the right direction of what they would need to do to help correct that. And if it is something that is holistically more of an issue, then perhaps it is something that we should raise to the school board. So I'll conclude by saying that it depends on the situation, and you can understand that, and then give them that appropriate response.
Thank you.
Mrs. Houston.
Welcome.
Thank you.
In the light of unusual circumstances that we are experiencing, what do you believe should be the three highest priorities of the school board?
Number one priority is the safety and well-being of our students. Absolutely, without a doubt. And in particular, those students that are most vulnerable, those students that require the the extra help and the extra consideration. So that is most certainly the first one. And I can't stress that enough. Second is with our educators. We need to make sure that the environment that our educators are faced with is going to be, that they're able to deal with that appropriately, that they're in a safe environment, that they're able to work well with the children, they can deal with the stress that all of us are under right now under this environment. And the third issue is, how do we make sure that we are appropriately funding this, that we are approaching the right methods and being able to address our needs? Is there funding? Do we have to make any investments in order to do that? And how do we approach that? And to be able to listen to those people, to listen to the educators, to listen to the key stakeholders that we need in order to make those decisions.
Thank you.
Mrs. Hassel.
Hello.
Hi.
What do you see as the greatest opportunity for downtown?
Opportunity for improvement. Probably our best opportunity is to expand further on what we do very well. We have several great programs in place for the students, and I think we need to look at how we can improve upon the education of those students. So how we can look upon improving that they be better, looking at how they perform and how students who are working their way up, how they are going to perform better. Because ultimately what we want to be, our greatest output of this as a school district is the students, what they do going beyond high school. And that's going to be expanding on what they are doing very well. I think we need to look upon that further. And that certainly includes how we're going to approach the investments that we need to make, the people who should be in place, how we work with our educators, how we work with the students, and look at opportunities further there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Reidel.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
With the first session, I noticed the irony of me always asking the same question, but take this what it is for you.
Sure.
You and another board member have opposing views about a major issue, and you both feel very strongly that your position is right. When your position is not affirmed by the majority of the board, how will you react?
And once again, I'll say it depends. It looks at what are the facts that are stated, and how do I feel that the opposing view is. I'm always open to listening to other arguments, as long as they are fact-based and data-driven and not on emotion. That's not how we should be looking at this. It should not be on emotion. How I'm going to respond is I will understand all the facts, and if I'm still firm in my conviction, I'll accept that. I will always accept the decision of the board, the decision of the majority, because that's how we live. But I want to also make it very clear what my position is and why I feel that way. And as long as that is understood and we're listening to each other and we understand each other's views, then I will most certainly accept the outcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Pantano.
I always seem to be writing just when you call my name. Good evening.
Good evening.
Taking into account that the budget is one of the major responsibilities of the board, what factors would you personally consider in determining your position
on the impacts, the budgetary impacts of either raising property taxes or cutting programs.
So, as somebody who does this for a living, I need to understand if there's going to be price increases, what's the value I'm going to get on that? Nobody likes seeing taxes getting raised. Myself as a taxpayer, I don't like to see it either. But you have to understand what the value is. So when I see if we would have to have taxes raised, we would look at, is there value in doing that? And it is up to the school to make sure that we have trusted information to agree on that. Now, that being said, there are more factors than just saying, I believe that cutting programs or raising taxes, there's a little wiggle room in the budget. And we also have to look at, once again, I want to look at that holistically. I need to understand, I would like to understand that you're scrutinizing a very good decision, what we need to do. Because we don't want to cut programs, we don't want to raise taxes, neither one is desirable. I would need to understand what is the impact altogether if we would not raise taxes. What would we see? Is it just cutting programs? Are there other areas where we're seeing that we can cut them? Is what we're paying for those programs too much? So perhaps is there a way that we can have a program, but by some means we're paying more for that than what we should. We're not getting the value that we should out of that. I always believe there are alternatives before we made a black and white decision to say whether we should do one or the other. We should approach those options, look at what we can do, and then we need to make, and then make a value decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Trout.
My question is, how do you feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Just kidding. That was a risk.
I could go on all night with that.
Our board goes to great lengths to avoid conflicts of interest or even the appearance of a conflict of interest. Do you have any personal employment or business relationships that could be perceived to be a conflict of interest? And if so, how would you overcome them?
Are you asking if I have any conflicts of interest right now?
Sure.
No, I do not. Now I'm employed full time with McCormick & Company down in Maryland, and I've been there for the last 7 years. So no conflict whatsoever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't sell ketchup to Dallas Town School District.
No, I'm kidding.
Mr. Wingard.
Good evening. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What does Dallas Town's mission of, and I quote, creating pathways for student success, end quote, mean to you?
So for the quote of creating pathways for student success?
Yeah.
So for me, what that means is, and I'm thinking of this with my children, is ensuring that they are able to choose the best way to have their education and to go on beyond high school. I look at what my children are doing right now, the classes that they are taking, the opportunities that they have here with the different classes that they can take. So my children are in, they are honors classes, they are in AP classes. The fact that Dallas Town offers that and offers several of them is great. At the same time, my son is in wood shop and metal shop, and he loves doing that as well. There are options here that they can do, certainly more than when I was in high school, where I went. So having that pathway to success means that they have the option and they can understand the options that are available to them. I think oftentimes there are, one of the biggest issues is that you don't know what you don't know. So if there are children that are not aware that they can take a particular path, know it exists, then they may never select that. And I think the more that we do that at Dallas Town, the more that we can offer those opportunities, offer those options that our children can take. That will allow them to have a successful career in life, whether they decide to go to college or to do something else in life, that is open to them to do that. And overall, we want them to do very well. To me, that is the definition of that's the pathway, and that's to getting to a successful outcome.
Thank you.
So to help us in our deliberations, what have we not asked you that you wish to add?
That's a great question. I would say the question is, I would say in thinking about that, that's why I'm here, and there was a question about we talked about the three priorities during this time, during COVID-19. I think the question is, what are the other top priorities that I would see? Certainly COVID-19 is going to be the biggest issue that we need to face right now. And I know that's a very general statement. It means a lot. And it impacts so much. And once again, referring to my job, I can give you 15 definitions of what COVID-19 means where I work. And I think everybody else would probably be the same in their job. I think we also have to look at the priority and the safety of our educators. I think also what I want to make sure of is that as we work with our educators, as we go into the budget season, as we negotiate a new contract with the educators, that we make sure that we're doing the right thing, that we are looking at, we're looking out for the safety and well-being of the educators that we're getting, that we have the talent, that we are making sure that we are hiring and retaining talented people to do their job. Because that will reflect directly in the students and the outcome, pathway to success, and also those that are very cognizant of the safety and well-being of our students. Because that is the greatest asset that we have. That's what we have to look out for. Our students, the most vulnerable students, taking care of that. So just want to reemphasize that that's where my focus is. That's what I believe is very important. And that's certainly why I'm interested in being part of the school board.
Well, thank you very much. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone's time. It's an honor to be here.
What?
You're spacing out over there.
Thank you. Glasses are full. No money in the first jar either. Ready to do this?
Sure.
Okay, let's get on with it then. I'll start off. Why are you interested in serving on the school board?
My son is a student here, and I'm always interested in creating a better environment for him and the better opportunities for him. And also his friends. He has a lot of friends that go here, younger, older, a lot of siblings of friends. We always want to try to make a better environment for them. And I live here, so I'm a resident of this area. I do a lot of different community service type items, and this opportunity presented itself, and I figured this would be a good opportunity for me to contribute to the school district, the neighborhood. And I am in a unique situation here, which we'll probably get into later. So it's not something that I always get an opportunity to be part of the school district in this way.
I'm not sure any of our questions will address that. So why don't you explain that if you would?
So I am a federal employee. I am subject to the Hatch Act. And as such, I will not be applying, nor will I be running for office at the conclusion of this term. I am prohibited by federal law from doing so. So my term here would be solely for the remainder of the term that remains. Another part of it, as far as why it's important, just for me personally, I do like to make the world a better place. I'm a civil servant. I work for the federal government. I work for an ambulance service. And serving my community is clearly part of who I am and what I've done for my entire life. And again, this is a unique opportunity for me that I normally would not have an opportunity to do.
Dr. Dunn.
And I have two questions. You actually brought the answer to the one, because you have a great young man back there.
Thank you.
Young children in the district, and I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years. So
yes.
I'd be proud of. The second question, what quality skills or experience, and you hit on some of those already, but anything you could expand on, quality skills, experience you would bring to the board?
So I am unique in that I am a federal government employee. I do deal a lot, almost exclusively, with federal laws, regulations, policy, and essentially enacting those policies and regulations or changing them. So I deal in my daily life as a policy and regulatory individual. And so a lot of what the school board deals with is the policy, regulations, and rules and guidance that is provided to run this school. So there's a lot of similarities there in my daily life with some of my employing that can transition to this environment as well. Another part of that, I actually have an MBA. And the other part of my job is money. I deal a lot with federal dollars, specifically the Federal Aid Highway Trust Fund. And I am responsible for hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of construction contracts that pass through the Federal Aid Highway Program on a yearly basis. There are eight of us nationwide. I am one of eight. Every construction project in the nation comes through me.
Thanks to Mount Rose Avenue.
Yes. They know me well. In fact, there are. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah,
I know that situation very well, and there is a solution. And as a federal employee, and this kind of relates to what you guys, we can make suggestions and make recommendations to PEMDOT. That being said, our position is not to run that contract for them. So similar to what a superintendent does here, we don't really run the superintendent. The superintendent runs his own show. And that's running their own show. We have some pull, but there's a limit to where that pull is. And knowing where that line is between what our federal laws and regulations are versus what the day-to-day operations are is something we do on a daily basis.
Great analogy.
Yes, thank you.
Pencil. All right, my question is, the friend approaches you with an issue they are having at their child's school. How do you handle this approach, and what advice do you give to your friend?
I guess the first thing is to listen to what they have to say. A lot of times, people just want to be heard. That being said, once you've heard their side of the story, you have to make a determination, where does it fall in the hierarchy of action? So there may possibly be something that is of very serious nature that needs to be brought to the attention of a superintendent. That being said, whether I'm the person for that vehicle or not depends on the situation. Most situations, it would probably advise that individual, here's the proper chain of command, here's what you need to do, put it in writing, here's who it goes to, here's the process to go through. There are probably some circumstances where it would need to be elevated and say, hey, I see something coming. If you hear anything about this, I know more, let me know. And then there are some that, again, they just want to be heard. You can talk to them, you can counsel them on what the rules, policies, and procedures are, help them understand what's going on, and see where you can go from there.
Ms. Houston.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. In the light of the unusual circumstances we are experiencing, what do you believe should be the three highest priorities of the school board?
That's a tough one. Obviously, the children's safety is always paramount. I hate to, it's kind of a cliche, but in this environment, that's true. You do have to safeguard the safety of the children and the people in the building to ensure that you don't have a hotspot. You will have infection, you will have community spread, but you don't want your school to become that hotspot. And there are lots of things you can to do to ensure that that happens. So that's a big one. Can you repeat the rest of the question?
What do you believe should be the three highest priorities of the school board?
Second one's money. All of these things that are happening, costs are exorbitant. They may or may not be traditional ways of expending funds, traditional ways of acquiring the things that you need. Could be IT related, could be health and safety related, could be mental health, physical health for those children, and any kind of adaptation that you have. So there's a finite budget. The budgets obviously did not foresee this happening. Nobody did. And the impact to your budget and how you have to move stuff around to be able to accommodate and provide for those students in this environment is critical. To ensure that you still have a functioning school, not just for this trimester, but next trimester and next school year also. And the last one is the quality of the education. So I brought it up, but some other things that we've had, making sure that the education that we provide the children in this time of undue stress is on par with what they deserve and need and what we can provide. So there's currently lots of options for the kids to select from. They have the online version, they have the academy, they have the in-person, and every student and every family situation is different, and being able to accommodate those different situations and still provide a quality learning environment for those children.
Thank you.
Mrs. Hofstra.
Hello.
Hello.
What do you see as the greatest opportunity for improvement at Dallastown?
Okay, give me a second.
Okay.
To be honest, you guys do a really good job here. I'm not from here. I actually researched the school district to move into it. So I'm not local, I'm not from here. I actually utilized various resources that were available to me to actually purposefully move here. That being said, there's always room for improvement. A big one that I see, and I'm kind of putting my kid on the table here, but he has some special needs, as do many children. And I know that that number of students and that population of kids who have particular needs in order to be able to be successful in the school environment is continuing to grow. I've seen some of that, I've witnessed some of that through the special education, through some of the other stuff that I've done with the school, plus with my own son. That's probably the area that, as far as the school is concerned, it's very difficult. There's a lot of different needs, there's a lot of different ways it goes, there's a lot of rules and regulations that go with it. But that special needs population, whether it's IEPs, special accommodations, that is a huge need as far as mental health, physical health, and adaptations to those kids. And it's tough. It's a very tough environment. Parents and students don't always understand what's available or what their needs are. And trying to find that balance for what they need and what we can provide in the time frame that we have and the funding that we have is huge.
Thank you.
It's like frog. I got to see where they're going next.
Mr. Lytle.
So you're coming down to me.
Okay.
With the question of irony. With this one.
Uh-oh.
No, that's okay.
once you get to know me, you'll know. Your experience may differ.
You and another board member have opposing views about a major issue, and you both feel very strongly that your position is right. When your position is not affirmed by the majority of the board, how will you react?
I'll probably cry in my Cheerios a little bit, but at the end of the day, that's part of the democratic process. As a federal employee, I deal with that every day. I make recommendations to PennDOT about Mount Rose Avenue, and they might go a different way. You know, they choose their own path, and that's part of our democracy, is allowing people to have those differences of opinion. And as an individual, when you participate in that process, you also have to accept the results and be comfortable that, hey, I did my best. This is where we're at. Now it's time to suck it up and go for where we're headed. Part of my federal job, we often have things that come down to us or handed to us that we don't necessarily agree with or support, but it's my job to support them once it's been enacted. So somebody hands us an executive order and it says, this is what you're going to do. Our job is to do the best with what we're given. So in that particular situation, okay, I didn't come out on top. Somebody else's group, that majority, had a different view. My job then, going forward, is to support that decision of the group in the best and possible way that I can to get the best outcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Pantano, get it to you again.
Again, writing while you're calling on me. Given that the preparation of the budget is one of the most important functions of the board, what factors would you personally consider when determining a stance on the budgetary impacts of either raising property taxes versus cutting programs?
Can you repeat the question from the beginning?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Paraphrase it for you. What factors would you personally consider when determining your stance on the budgetary impact of either raising property taxes or cutting programs?
Okay. First off, we have to know what the programs are. There are obviously certain programs that you can't cut. There are certain mandated things that have to live above the line. But there are a lot of things that may or may not live above or below that line. And you have to look at the impact to your students and to your teachers and to your conglomeration of people in this building and how it impacts their ability to do their jobs and how it impacts our students' ability to learn. There are certain things that are nice to have. I always tell my son when he wants to go get something, is it a nice to have or is it something that you actually need? Those needs versus wants are daily parts of our lives. Budgetary processes are often very big into, is this a want or is this a need? And if it is something that is a need, we have to sometimes find other ways to do it. So if it's something that's being cut or is proposed to be cut, is there another way to do it and still provide that service in another way, shape, or form? Is there a way to maybe adapt it to make it less impactful? Because at the end of the day, if you have a choice, you're going to have to look at some of those cuts in order to justify to your constituents, your taxpayers, that you've made the accommodations that you can, and you may potentially still have the need for a tax increase. So in order, you can't just, I guess in my opinion, you can't just arbitrarily go right to the tax increase. You have to have some sort of evidentiary proof to your constituents and to your taxpayers and that group to substantiate to them why you've done what you could, you've done what you could within the means that you have, and here's our next step. So we've done the adjustments, we've done the cutbacks, we've made modifications where we could, and we're still short. And this is why we're short, and this is where we're going with it. And letting them know the impact of that change. You know, if this is the number we decided, here's how it impacts you individually, here's how it impacts our school as a whole and individually, and trying to communicate the best way we can with that. Sorry, my mask keeps falling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mrs. Trout.
Hi, hello. As a board, we go to great lengths to avoid conflicts of interest and even the appearance of conflicts of interest. Do you have any personal employment or business relationships that could be perceived as a conflict of interest? And if so, how would you overcome them?
I do not have any conflicts of interest. As I mentioned, I'm not from here. There is nobody in my family that lives here. There is no financial interest in anything with the school district. As a federal employee, you deal with conflict of interest all the time. In fact, I think I get a training on it every 6 months. I personally do not have any financial or personal interest in the entire conglomeration of York County, actually. I am an isolated individual in this area, and we pretty much kept to ourselves as far as what we are involved in that regard. So I do not have any.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wingard.
Good evening, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What does Dallas Town's mission of, and I quote, creating pathways for student success, end quote, mean to you?
For me personally, it's the boy sitting right there, that he has an opportunity to do his best every day, and that at the conclusion of his time at Dallas Town, that provides him a path for success as an adult. And I would hope that for all the children who pass through this school, that's what happens for all of them. We're providing them with a foundation that provides them for a adulthood where they have a happy, healthy, contributing life. For some of those students, it's a high school diploma, and then they go out into a career. For some of those students, it could be a technical school, and they go out into a career. For students, some of them, it might be, for some of those students, it might be the military. You know, they may choose to pursue the military. They might have pursued some of it here, and they go onto that path. For others, it might be a two-year or four-year college or even beyond. The fact that the school here provides the students lots of exposure and lots of opportunities in their personal education choices while they're here, that when they go to move on with their lives after high school, those options have been fully developed.
Thank you.
Great. Final question.
Final question.
Yeah. To help the board make its decision, what have we not asked that you wish to add?
I will not be running for office.
Right.
So that, I guess, makes me unique probably from the other candidates. I fully expect they probably will want to keep this job after December of 2021. I would love to keep the job after December of 2021. The federal government won't let me, and I'm not retiring for another 15 years. So I'm not going anywhere with the federal government, so I will not be, seeking re-election to the position. That probably, most likely, and I feel it probably provides me a very different perspective on what happens here in this body over the next 12 to 14 months. My goals are not to be reelected. My goals are not to create a public impression that creates a favorable opinion of me per se. My goal is to serve the school, to serve the school board and myself, and the community that I am part of, not necessarily to seek re-election, because I will not be seeking re-election. So again, that probably makes me very unique. I know you mentioned a lot of the people here today were in a similar situation where they got an appointment and maybe made that into a more permanent situation. I unfortunately will not have that opportunity. So I am unique in that regard, but it is definitely something for you guys to consider as well, in that my time here is focused on the 14 months, or I guess it's 13 months now, the 13 months that I will be here to do the absolute best job that I can for you guys, for myself, for my son, for my community while I'm here.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Bring the other
and,
two in.
Mrs. Kirby will bring your two friends in. You can sit right here.
Larry, you sure you don't want to make a run for it here?
Oh, I'm good. I'm precluded from doing so.
That's my word. It's my federal government tag.
Mr. Blevins, could we possibly take 2 minutes?
Sure. But thanks for the offer.
Break. Yeah, sure. We're going to take a very short break in 2 minutes. And,
Thank you, all three. You all had very excellent answers. And as I said before, I think nothing has changed my opinion that all three of you would make excellent school board members. So our board has their work cut out for them here this evening. But before we get into the deliberations and the vote, we would like to give an opportunity to the public to offer any opinions. If there's anyone here that would like to make a comment, feel free to do so and indicate by raising your hand. For those joining us online, specifically on Zoom, please use the raise your hand option on your screen. And when it's your turn to speak, the webinar host will unmute your mic and you'll be asked to state and spell your name for the record and to share your address.
Blevins, at this time, there are no hands raised.
Okay. Wait another 30 seconds or so just to make sure.
hands are raised, Mr. Blevins.
Thank you. And now we'll move to the deliberations part of our agenda. And what I'd like to do is just go around and give each board member an opportunity to make any comments they would like to make. And once everyone has had that opportunity, then we'll do a vote. We'll get five or more votes for a specific candidate. Our work is done. If not, we'll continue to deliberate beyond that. So why don't we start with Mrs. Hosmer?
I thought I was going
to be. Okay. Well, first, thank you all for coming. I mean, what you did tonight is phenomenal, and just having, giving, you know, yourself to the board is just a phenomenal thing. So thank you for that. I connected with every one of you and different things that you said, and I appreciate everything you have said. The only maybe concerns I had maybe a little bit with Mrs. Metzler, just that your children are currently cyber school. And I'm just concerned maybe a little bit of how you'll be able to help on the day-to-day operations of the district when you don't necessarily have a student in the district at this time. That's my only concern there. But of course, I also understand your reasoning for that too. Mrs. Wisner, of course, you knew you were going to hear this, I'm pretty sure, but the concern is just, you know, only filling the term. But I appreciate the passion and the determination to do that. Knowing that you can't rerun really does show your dedication to your son and to the district. So I think that's phenomenal. But again, it takes so much time to learn the process of the board, in my opinion, being new to it, that only serving the term, I feel like you maybe just get your feet wet and then you're out kind of thing. But again, it says volumes for your character to step up and do that knowing that. So thank you. And then, Mr. Kolklek, I just have that, you were very passionate about students and students' education and the educators, and I just really appreciated that. So those are just my thoughts on all three. I don't know if that's how you go about it and just put it all out there, but it's just all out there. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pantano.
Well, now I have to follow Mrs. Hosmer.
At least you didn't have to go first.
That's true. At least I didn't have to go first. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys that sits down, has to think about things a lot and process them. And so having to go second and start responding right off the bat, I'm sure I'll struggle a little bit to keep things organized. Number one, I think Mr. Blevins is right. I think all three of our candidates would make excellent board members. And I think that's a good thing because the last vacancy, you know, we ended up with a great board member through that process, but there was only one. And the last few elections were unopposed. And to see folks actually step up and want to be a part of the process is very good. I am struggling with a few things back and forth. I'm still trying to get my thoughts together. I'll say what is on my mind now, and if I think of anything, if we had a second go around. All of our candidates tonight talk very passionately about students and education and teachers, and I think that is really important. There was less mention of, not no mention, but less mention of the taxpayer. A few of our candidates talked about balancing the needs to grow programs versus raising taxes. I think Mr. Capellic brought that up. Is it Wisner or Wisner?
It's Wisner, it's W-E, or it's a V-I. Depends if you want to do the English version.
I just didn't want to say it wrong. I think Mrs. Wisner,
yep, that works.
Mentioned something very specific about looking at the focus on each of the programs. And again, I'm sure you expected to hear this. I think Mrs. Wisner will make an excellent board member. I am struggling with this reelection, and I know that shouldn't be my sole factor. And her answer to why we should maybe not consider that was actually a pretty good one. And I know Mr. Lyle keeps saying I'm not allowed to say I'm the new guy anymore because it's been a couple
because
years.
Because you're not.
But being the third newest member on the board, I'm thinking ahead to the process. Someone's going to have to file paperwork in February or March, which is essentially 3 to 4 months from now. And then they're going to have to campaign and win a primary in May. And it sometimes can take 10 to 11 months to even understand the complexities of everything we have to deal with. And that's only exacerbated by COVID and all this, those situations. And presumably one of the other two candidates, if they've showed an interest here tonight, presumably will be the ones filing in February or March. And so I struggle with that commitment. Mr. Capellic did speak very passionately about students, about his two students, about what they're seeing and some of the things that he thinks would be better for them. But also talked a little bit about balancing that with some, I think a little bit more focus on some of the financial aspects of how do we make that happen and balance the two. Mrs. Metzl, on the other hand, is born and bred Dallas Town, as I am myself. Grew up here, lived here, went here, and that means something. While Mr. Capellic and Mrs. Wisner researched the district and moved in, Mrs. Metzler chose to come back here after going through these schools. So it does show commitment across the board on all those. I do struggle, and Mrs. Metzler made the comment about her position in Harrisburg, and her answer also was a good one. I do struggle, having just dealt with this issue with a previous board member, on how conversations that occur in Harrisburg that may be contradictory or not incongruent with the needs of Dallas Town, how she may find herself. I'm sure she'll be able to figure that out, but that is something that's been in the back of my mind. I'm gonna pass now because I'm just starting to babble because I'm still trying to get thoughts together. So thank you.
Trout.
Right, just to tag on the end of what Mr. Pantano said, we've seen what's right in Harrisburg is not always what's right for Dallas Town, and we have seen that conflict sometimes. But let me just start off by saying that we are so very fortunate to have three awesome candidates from which to choose tonight. So thank you all for coming out. I've been in your position, not with a mask on, which I imagine makes it even worse, but I've been in your position and it's difficult. And I just appreciate you going through the process.
Mrs. Trout and I were up against each other in your position, as a matter of fact.
We were. So thank you for coming out. Thank you for bringing your passion and your experience. I think that you all would be very qualified and I think you all would do a great job. Your heart seemed to be in the right place. And you would have much to contribute. Mrs. Metzler, I found you to be very confident and professional, very articulate. I'm not real clear on your kids and how they, I understand you said they've come through, but then you also made the comment that they came back to start the year here. And I wasn't clear on where they came back from. So it does give me a little bit of pause knowing that they haven't gone through a traditional public school situation here at Dallas Town. Mr. Capellic, I found you to be very humble. I like you brought up being fact-based, data-driven, which we are as a board, really fact-based and data-driven. And even though you haven't grown up in Dallas Town and, you know, like Mr. Pantano and Mrs. Metzler, you sure do understand the culture, in my opinion, based on your answers. So I was impressed with that. Mrs. Wisner, I loved that you have, I said wrong.
It's okay. I'm used to it.
You're used to it, right. Your policy experience, your finance experience, I like that you talked about the needs versus the wants in terms of budgeting, and that really struck a chord with me. So those are my opening comments, and I think, again, I just want to thank you for going through this challenging and difficult process.
Mr. Benson.
Okay. I'm sure one of us or a bunch of us aren't going to be voting for whoever ends up being on the board the first time. But that's okay, because I didn't vote for Hillary. I didn't vote for Tony. And we still get along. And Ron reminds me he voted for me the first time through. So none of us have ever had any preconceived whatever. Whoever ended up, it's always sort of been kind of a joke. Well, not a joke, but.
I don't know. Has it?
What? like everybody said, there's no bad choice. Everybody's bringing up, and this is my little pet peeve, everybody's bringing up Mrs. Metzler's, where her kids are, but probably this group here is probably the first time we've ever asked somebody why they're going to a different cyber school. And I think sometimes we need to remember that. Don't worry about them going there. We make sure we figure out why they're going there and deal with it. So I don't necessarily hold that against her. The other thing, like everybody else, I'm a little queasy about the job she holds in Harrisburg, but I think that can be dealt with. Mr. Capelli, I mean, sometimes it's good to have somebody that has a couple things in Dallastown. You know, you've been around, you know what it's like in Pittsburgh, you know what it's like here. It's always a positive, and I agree that I think you're compassionate, and not that the others aren't. I think you're in it for the right reason, and I think the rest of them are too. And then we get down to Mrs. Westner. Did I say it right? Probably not. Never mind. I'm not even going to ask you. I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I kind of like the policy stuff because I'm policy chair, but I might be able to ask you a couple questions. But anyway, the question that Sue Houston asked, and then you gave the answer, everybody kind of said the same thing, and they eventually got around to it. And unless I'm wrong, somebody can correct me. Your answer was safety, money, and the quality of education. And that was on the first time through. Everybody eventually talked about the quality of education. But on that answer, you know, with all the COVID and all the stuff, I thought that was right on the money, because those are the three, in my mind, the three big things. And now, like Tony said, you said the wants or needs. That was good to me. And then for you only holding the position for a year or 14 months, 12 months, whatever it is, I don't necessarily look at that as a bad thing. We're picking the people now. I mean, she would have to hit the ground running. But if she would be the ultimate person we pick, come election time, the taxpayers are the one truly picking who it is. I mean, you guys will all be able to, two of you would be able to rerun and get taxpayers, but everybody would be on a clean slate, and it's truly the taxpayer picking it. Now, I'm saying that, and I got on the same way you guys did. But, I don't necessarily look at that as a negative. That's just me. And like I said, there's no bad candidate. I'm sure, I talk more about one than the other. I'm sure we'll be working together just fine, whoever ends up getting it. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wingard.
First of all, thanks so much for being here. I know that I just did this a year ago. I know what you're going through. And I know you put yourself out there and you did a great job, all of you. Talk about strong people. I am so glad that I wasn't a fourth candidate here, because I'd be the first one to show the door. So thank you very much for what you're doing. My thoughts on the whole process is, I understand Tony's point of view about being born and raised here, but I think there's a lot of strength in choice. You have no say-so where you were born, but you chose this. And I did the same thing. I think there's merit to both, but I think that picking someplace that you want to make your home and someplace that you feel your children in school will thrive is a positive thing. I'm not negating being born here. If you're lucky enough to be born here, that's wonderful. But if not, you choose this. I think that there's some merit with that. As far as Mr. Capellica, I like the fact that that you're fact and data driven. That's certainly something that has been pressed within this board quite a bit, and I think that's a strong thing. Mrs. Metzler, a very powerful presentation. We live in a very divisive world. Certainly, just looking at the national news the past week. And I know that Tony kind of alluded to this a little bit. Whether it's real or perceived, I am concerned about your job and how it will be perceived. And I know that this board could work with that, but it's something that does cause me concern as far as what would the public perception be. That's something that is weighing heavy on my mind. Mrs. Wiester, John Hartman, whose position one of you will take this evening, when I first joined the board, he said, be patient. He said, the first year you're going to be so confused and you're just going to be exposed to things. The second year you're going to understand. And those words meant a lot to me because coming into my second year here, I feel that the exposure is there and I'm starting to understand things a lot better. I just think time is something that a long-term commitment would be powerful. But I do thank you all for being here. Powerful, powerful presentations. And this district would be honored to have any one of you serve in the vacancy. So appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Houston.
I'm going to turn around with this. This is really a bad position. What we do tonight, interviewing you guys, publicly debating this, really is one of hardest things I do not know. We have to do it because of sunshine law, but it is very difficult because we're talking about you in front of you. I mean, it's a difficult process, but as everyone has said, we all learn to work with each other. So saying that, I believe that no matter which one of you we choose, I think we will all be able to work with you. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to come tonight. I know this is not an easy process. From what I understand, this is harder than doing the election process. So I do appreciate you guys doing that. Mr. Kopak, I liked your view of everyone, the stakeholders, the educators, the children, everyone that was that has an interest in our district. I also too am not from here. So I don't see that as a good thing too, is coming here and choosing. Not that that's a bad thing, that you're born and raised here and you come back, but I do see that that's something that is a good thing too, sometimes to have it outside of you. So I do appreciate that. Mrs. Metzler, the cyber issue, to me, there's a good thing, and I'm kind of like what Mr. Bensel said. It almost gives us a different perspective. So it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. I would think that you could give us a different perspective then, and why are we losing our kids to the cyber school? Because it is costing us a lot of money for these kids to go out. But at the same token, I have to think too about the whole thing with your job and where that lies, what happens to that. And sometimes it does overlap with us as a board and what's best for Dallas Town. So that may cause difficulty on you. So that has something that I have to consider. This is Weitzner, trust me, everyone pronounces my name wrong too, so I'm right there with you. I do like the different things that you said about the with the wants and needs and how you and the policy side that you could bring to us, because that is a difficult part of what we do. Again, I see a good the positive and the pros and the cons with it being the 1 year term. The cons is if you do not. It takes you more than a year to get yourself to really get into the groove and to understand what we do as a board. But at the same token, you do have some of that background with the policy, and so it may not take you as long as it takes the rest of us. But I do. But the pro is the fact that you are here tonight, knowing that it's only going to be 1 year. It takes a lot to come here and go through this process, and it does show you the passion. It does show us the passion that you have. So I do appreciate that. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you. My back is to you all, but I hope you can hear me.
I'd like to address you. I've been through this process as a candidate and at least three times with other people.
And I know it's redundant, but it does take a lot. I'm grateful that we have three candidates. And unlike my question, I will differentiate and have my own opinion on who I would like, who I would have preference for. But I would entertain the will of the board that whoever we choose, I can see anything positioning well in this situation. It's true. But since we do have a choice, I do think it is, we can be selfish. We cross the hurdle of individual qualifications. And now I have to look at what's best for our board and what's best for our district. And that's selfish, but that's reality. And I really, I'm strong. And I'll go the different way. I'll call you Catherine.
Thank you. That's an easy way out of it.
I don't mind being casual, but that's me. It is somewhat of a deal breaker for me to not have you here, since we have the luxury of two other candidates. If you were in Mr. Wingert's position and the only candidate, I would rubber stamp you and I would welcome you in a heartbeat. And I'm sorry that that's the fine line, but unfortunately, that's where we are.
We are going to, and I'm going to address the other two, that there are going to be very fine points that are going to be differentiators in my mind, and I just need to be transparent on where I'm got at.
I also think, you know, I appreciate where you're coming from, Whitney, being homebred, but again, from a, you all know me as board dynamics. Josh is showing a big, very big collaborative nature here. You are engaging a lot of people here. We are looking for best solutions. We are looking for a board director. We're not looking for a fixer. I mean, we're not looking for an employee. So it's cutting down to the chase, but and I appreciate your stance, your history, where you, your skills that you bring, but I don't need you to come in and roll up your sleeves and fix CyberScore, Odyssey. I mean, help us identify the problems. But my tendencies and my own personality would go to Stephen, where I appreciate the fact that you seem to be more collaborative. You seem to understand the more corporate hierarchy and collaborative, data-driven, make a response quicker, given the facts, work with the team, win or lose, but move forward with your process. And I think that's just where we have the luxury as our board has matured. We're at that next stage. The other thing that you brought up too was looking at my pet peeve has been looking more long-term towards our planning and using better handle on short-term and long-term ramifications of the decisions that you're making. So that's just where I'm at. But here again, where I pledge to you all that we'll work together with whoever is successful. I can't thank you all for stepping forward. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone who would like to add anything before we vote? Okay, the process will be that Mrs. Kirby will call the roll and will tabulate the votes and we'll see how that winds up. So call the roll, please.
Mr. Wentzel?
Mrs. Wetzner.
Ms. Catherine Wiesner?
Yeah.
Mrs. Heaston?
Stephen Kopak.
I can't. Kopak. Mrs. Hosler? Mr. Kopak? I'm sorry, Mr. Kopak? Mr. Lytle?
Mr. Kopak.
Mr. Pantano?
Mr. Kopak.
Mrs. Trow?
Mr. Kopak.
Mr. Wingard?
Mr. Kopak.
And Mr. Blevin?
I abstain. So the official count is?
We have six counts for Mr. Kopak and one count for Catherine Wiesner.
Very good. Well, congratulations, Mr. Kopak.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
I would ask any of the three of you that would like to make any comments before we have Judge Laird swear in, Mr. Kopak. Now's your opportunity.
I just would like to thank you for your time meeting with us all this evening. I do appreciate it. And as I've done before, if there's any time I can be of any assistance to anybody, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Similar sentiments. Thank you for your consideration. I realize that my application was unique and that my situation is also very unique, and it created a unique situation here for you guys to consider. Appreciate that you guys did take the time to consider and thought through that process as part of your deliberations. And similarly, I'm here, so you know where to find me if there's something else that comes up. Every now and then, those superintendents do seem to find me.
Great. And Mr. Capella.
Thank you all very much. Thank you for selecting me. I am very, very honored to serve with all of you. I look forward to working with all of you in this capacity. Very excited. Look forward to doing this for a very long time. So great to get to work. So thanks. Thank you all.
Good. Dr. Dodd, do you have any comments?
I would just say, and I don't know Stephen as well, but I've gotten to know the other two. You're exceptional individuals, and I know that we can go to you at any point in time. It's a challenging, it's a very difficult choice. It's an awkward choice, but I support all of you as candidates. I encourage you to continue to contribute. I know you're a phone call away, and I'd like to congratulate you, Stephen, on your win this evening. And just the history, because I've been around for a long time, it is interesting. Those that are in the opposite seats are also sitting at this table, and going through that process. So I encourage you, if it didn't work this evening, continue. If this is something you want, because it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. So at this time, I think, are you ready to move forward with the oath of office?
Yes. How do you want to do this?
If we will go up here for the Wildcat. Picture. You can go on and go up with them, Mr. Blevins.
Okay, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. I, Stephen A. Capella, do solemnly swear or affirm. Do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend. That I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of this Commonwealth. And the Constitution of this Commonwealth. And I will discharge the duties of my office. And I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. With fidelity. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Not at all.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Oh, certainly. Okay, any further board comments or correspondence? Okay, seeing none, the upcoming calendar of events is listed there. We have a Thursday evening, we have the HR committee meeting at 6 p.m. followed by Finance and Buildings and Grounds Committee at 7. Next Monday evening, Mr. Bensel will hold his Policy Committee meeting. And next Thursday evening, we will have our board meeting.
Can I make the correct on the HR Committee? It starts at 5:45 instead of 6, I believe.
Yes, it's going to be at 5:45.
It does start at 5:45.
At 5:45.
Yes.
When were you going to tell me that?
Awesome.
It was on the agenda. Email Lisa sent out.
The question is, did she update the invite?
Seeing nothing else, the meeting is adjourned, and we will have a very brief executive committee meeting upstairs in the administrative room.